Hey, thank you so much for joining us today on From Start to Finish podcast with Christina Faith. I am your host, Christina Faith, where we inspire people to live authentically and start and finish their dreams. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Christina Faith here. We are here tuned in with Prophetess Tara Carissa. She is an amazing speaker, a wonderful platform leader, and she is one who is going to tell us a little bit about her origin story today and show us how to continue to live life now. Hey, how you doing, Miss Tara?
I am blessed. How are you? Thank you so very much for having me.
I am wonderful. It's an honor to have you. You always have a ready word of encouragement for us. One of the things that you guys tweeted last night is don't dismiss what you've been through. Pay attention to what you've been through. So that's something I recently been talking to someone about, is taking time to kind of reflect on what you've been through as opposed to kind of pushing it to the side once you're out of the season. So how did you get started? What's your origin story?
Well, you know what? I have always been a writer. My first published article came out when I was 16 years old, and it made the front page of my local paper. So writing is my passion. You know, from there, I went off to college, and I do have my degree in broadcast journalism with a minor in public relations. And I'm almost finished with my master's now. That is also media oriented, global communication. So I'm very excited about that. So, you know, as it relates to my entrepreneurial work, most people may know or may not know, but in addition to preaching, in addition to having a thriving coaching business, I also write professionally, and I am paid for the writings that many of you guys go and read about online. And so I'm very excited about that. But it's amazing because I got started, you know, years ago, again, you know, as a teen, just having a love for writing and volunteering with the school newspaper. But beyond that, in college, you know, working with the school newspaper, working with the campus radio, the campus television station, and then upon graduating, just always having a belief not to be tied to one income. Mm. And so from there, I really took to MySpace. This was when MySpace was really big. And my MySpace blog at its height had over 10,000 subscribers from all over the world. And so from there, different magazines began reaching out to me, and I began my writing career, my professional writing career from there.
Nice, nice. So what's your background? So you've always been a writer. Was writing, for a lot of writers, writing is a way of reflection. So for me as a writer, I write in order to process life. When you were younger, is that how you process life, or you just were drawn to it just because?
You know, writing has always been a creative outlet for me. Mm-hmm. So if I was experiencing something, feeling something, or wanted to empower people, I would write. It's something that comes very naturally to me. And maybe, you know, perhaps that's why my Twitter following is the way that it is, mm-hmm. because all day I'm literally writing. You know, a thought will come to me, and so many people will say, oh my goodness, where did that thought come from? Well, I'm always on the move. Yeah. You know, again, in addition to being a preacher, I am a full-time corporate employee. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, I'm also coaching. But in addition to that, I'm also traveling and speaking, not only as a preacher, but as a speaker. Mm-hmm. And so I'll see things on TV as I'm driving. I'll see things as I'm writing. You know, whether it's watching other people's conflict, a thought will come to my mind and I will send out that tweet. And so, you know, for me, it's just how I express myself.
In the crowded world of the internet, what has caused you to remain authentic? That's something that I always ask people, you know, because people get caught up on followers, and that causes them sometimes to shift the strategy that they've been given. So how have you been able to remain stable and knowing that the message that you have is the message you've been called to?
You know what? I don't follow other people's pages. Even though when you go to my Twitter page, mm-hmm. you'll see I'm following thousands of people. I do that because I support them. Mm-hmm. But I don't follow other major faith leaders by way of stalking their pages to see what are they doing? Yeah. What are they working on? What are they saying? Where are they going? Because yeah. I've always been a firm believer that if I just stay in my lane, yeah. I will get further. And that has worked for me. Everybody says, you know, how is it that you've been all these places, you've been around the world, you've done this, you've done that? It's point blank, period. Number one, the grace and the favor of God. But number two, I don't keep up with the Joneses are doing. Mm-hmm. I support them. I love them. I wish them well. Who's ever preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, who's ever empowering people, who's ever pushing people to the next level. I am happy for you. Do your thing. But I am not caught up in what you're doing unless you call me, unless you at me, unless you email me. I don't know what you're doing. And And that has worked very well for me.
That works. That works. I think that's a great thing for a lot of people. I was just thinking how many people go on Instagram, go on Twitter, and they're stalking people, seeing what they are doing and what they have, and then comparing their lives.
And so this is why you have to be careful of that, because if you are following someone, mm-hmm. that means you'll always be behind them, because mm-hmm. you're looking at them to figure out your next move. But when you get in your lane and you tap into the anointing and the creativity that God has placed on your life, you're not following anybody other than God. And that's when creativity can be birthed and can take place.
Here is Misty Edwards with Little Bird.
Little girl with the big round eyes. Little bird, one day you'll fly. A breathtaking flight of life, you'll fly. The little bird, you will die. Little girl with the big round eyes. Little bird, one day you'll fly. A breathtaking flight of life, you'll fly. The little bird, you will die. Because life, life is a vapor, but the breath of tea is what makes it a treasure. So feel it all like a love letter to the one you live with forever. His eyes on the sparrow, his eyes on you. All over little bones of dust will cover little spirit, you'll live on with the soul of the bird that goes on and on. The little bones, you will rise. And little girl, you will fly.
You preaching right now. I feel like y'all need to go on her website, TaraCarissa.com, and just give her an offering.
Well, to God be the glory.
Listen, we need to be those who are led like that. So what has been your biggest challenge as an entrepreneur and with your online business? What's been something that you really had to hone in on?
You have to fight for authenticity. You know, by the grace of God, I have been featured in national publications all the way from Essence Magazine to the Word Network. And God has been gracious in favoring me and giving me national platforms. And when God does that, you have a lot of companies, a lot of businesses, a lot of organizations that reach out to you and say, hey, can you be our spokesperson? Can you be a brand ambassador? Can you endorse us? And while all of that is wonderful, the Bible says a wise man first counts up the cost of a thing mm-hmm. before he engages in building it. And in other words, oftentimes, opportunities are not opportunities. They're actually a form of bondage if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. Because with some of these opportunities, the instruction that is given is, okay, we'll give you this, but we need you to tone that down. Well, wait a minute. Before I'm a brand ambassador, before I am whatever it is you're asking me to be, I am number one, a spokesperson for God. And so I can never discount the message for a dollar bill. I can never discount the message for an opportunity. And so in this particular lane, I warn people, you must be careful, because every opportunity is not an opportunity. Sometimes it's a strategic silencer. It's a silencer of your message. It's a silencer of your authenticity. And so in this level, you have to be able to see an opportunity, bless it, wish that particular company or organization well, and say, hey, I might not be the best fit for you, because I need to be able to have empowerment, but then I also need to be able to stand in my office as a prophet and offer up a word of rebuke and not worry about, is my income going to be tied to what I just said?
Come on now. That's good. Because I find that a lot of people, they're looking, this morning, I was literally thinking about all of the people that have tied themselves to alcoholic endorsements, not knowing what they're sowing into, or sort of knowing that they're sowing into it, knowing that is wrong, but realizing that you can't step out of that. Like, once you're in that, they sign you to contracts that just have you in bondage. Empire, for example. People are loving the show Empire right now, not knowing that those artists, that they're loving their music. Guess what? They're now tied to Fox. Fox now owns a portion of all of the music that they will ever make. So we really need to learn how to count the costs in order to be business people that are authentic and staying in their own lane.
It's also key to define what success is to you.
Mm-hmm.
Success is different to everyone. And so if you have not defined success, you will look at the next person in your industry and see that they just got a Bentley. And so now you define success as a Bentley, which means you'll do anything to get it. But I decided a while back that for me, success was not popularity. Success was not people always loving on me. My success would be defined by my ability to live at peace in every single area of my life, financially, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. About a year ago, I took some time off from Twitter. Nothing went wrong, but I wanted to rest. I wanted to relax. And if I had been tied to believing that my success was tied to people adding me and saying, "You said that, woman of God," or "You're an awesome woman of mm-hmm. God," I would have thought that I was a failure. But guess what? During that time, I didn't lose followers. People still reached out. People still invited me places, and I got what I needed and didn't lose anything. But that is because I was able to define what success is for me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So with your understanding of success, as you have gone through your education, as you're still going through education, what makes education important to you? Because we're in a shift as far as the world is concerned, especially in America, where our educational system doesn't necessarily prepare us for where we're going. In some cases, a lot of people go to school with the understanding and with the desire to get a job as opposed to living out purpose. How has your education helped you to live out your purpose and knowing, because you've known, it sounds like you've known for a long time what your purpose was as far as media is concerned, as far as speaking and writing. How has that been able to drive you educationally?
So here's the thing. That is an excellent question. For me, after I finished my bachelor's, I knew that I wanted to take time, get into my career, and figure out what master's program will best complement where I am going. And you don't always know that at 22. Mm-hmm. So for people who know who they want to be at 22 when you first finish up your undergrad, wonderful. Kudos to you. But for people that say, you know what? I have a great foundation. Let me jump into the pool. Let me see what it is I'm most attracted to. And then I'll make a decision about what my master's program will be from there. That is the model that worked for me. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I looked at who I had become, who I wanted to become, and what I felt would be a great developer for where I was going, not only in ministry, not only in being an entrepreneur, but also being a corporate woman. And, you know, once I figured that out, I was able to choose a program that best fits me and makes sense. Because I also tell people that in this economic age that we're living in, you don't need to get a degree just to put letters behind your name or just to say, "I have a master's," or just to keep up with the Joneses. No, anything that you invest in at this point in your life, it has to make sense. Dollars and cents.
Mm-hmm. And how do you make sense of it? You talked about counting the costs. How do you make sense of the things that you put your entrepreneurial hand to?
You know what? At the end of the day, does this further my reach, number one, as a brand ambassador for God?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you know, how is this helping me with other goals that I know I have to meet? So I always tell people that you have to look at your life holistically. You can't look at your life and say, "Well, how can I make a quick dollar this summer?" Because the mm-hmm. way that you go about making that quick dollar this summer can serve as a dire consequence for something you want to do next summer. So really taking time off of social media, stop looking at what other people are doing, look at yourself and figure out, who am I? What do I need to do now? And what do I believe? What do I perceive I will want to do later? And how do I get prepared for that?
Here's Trip Lee with Sweet Victory, the remix from Gavi the producer.
Gavi, get him.
To the city, feeling good, we gon' make it to the finish. Yeah,
sweet victory.
They see me on the stage. They like that boy the man. They hit play on them songs. They clapping in them stands. They like, I bet you got a lot of them stats from rubber bands. So when I say it's been a hard few years, they think I'm playing. Y'all don't know my life, boy. Y'all don't know my life, boy. Y'all don't know what it's been like on my wife. Don't know my fight, boy. Been in them trips instead of trying to fight my foes. And when I couldn't fight no more, you brought me low, low. You brought me low. I know I can't get it out.
Some of the challenges I think that you've had as an entrepreneur, what is something that you've learned from? Can you give us a story about a process that you've been through that you've had to learn from?
Time management. I just got married last year, and before I got married, in addition to preaching and my corporate career, I run a very successful coaching business even to this day. But when I got married, I realized, okay, I've got to do some shifting here, because not only did I get married, but I married a pastor, which means I also have first lady duties at the ministry. So, one of the things I had to learn is, how do I take this product? How do I take this service? Continue to serve the masses, continue to have impact, continue to live out my purpose, but do it in a way that doesn't capitalize so much of my time. And I am excited to announce that this year I'm launching a major product and service, which we'll announce in less than 30 days as it relates to coaching, that will allow me to continue to make impact, continue to minister to the masses all around the globe, but not capitalize so much on my time.
Can we take it all the way back with We're Almost There for the Jackson 5? How do you develop your products? How did you give birth to it? How did you realize, okay, this is how I monetize off of it?
Okay, sure. Well, with my audio teaching How to Prosper from Your Pain, I really kept the main thing the main thing. The main thing is that people get into their mind and into their spirit that what has happened to you not only happened to you, but it's also for you. And so because the main thing is the message getting out, I wanted to make sure that my product was not at such a price point that very few people could afford it. So for instance, How to Prosper from Your Pain, which is an audio that you can go on and instantly download, it's only $5 because most people can afford $5. And so beyond that,
It's just realizing, again, what the main thing is. Once you do an audio teaching, that download can live on your website for life. People can download it. There are people who downloaded the audio when it first came out. There are people who are still downloading it as I sleep at night. So, you know, understanding, how do you get your product out? How do you position it so that it's always getting the message out and bringing resources in? And then number three, keeping the main thing the main thing. The main thing is not to sell a particular product, you know, in my case, for $500, but it is to sell a product that a lot of people can afford so that a lot of people can support.
That's good. That's good. Because you know what? You see a lot of people developing products that are like $500 for a course, $1,000 to learn this, $1,000 to learn that. But I find that the people who do like the $5, the $10, the $15 products have a better niche because they allow more people to buy it. So you may get, you know, less quantity with the higher prices, but with the lower prices, more people are able to buy into it and receive from your product.
It's a much easier sale.
How do you prepare for your speaking engagements? What empowers you besides the Lord? Like what's something that you always hone in on when you're thinking about speaking? Because a lot of people want to be speakers, but they don't realize that there's a lot of work entailed in speaking.
You first have to identify your audience. Who are you speaking to? Mm-hmm. What are they going through? What are their issues? What would they like insight on? That's always key. You have to know your audience. And so when people say, oh, I want to be a speaker, that's wonderful. But understand that the basis of being a speaker is not being heard. The basis of being a speaker is getting information to people that they want to hear. And then you are heard. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of speakers, they create, you know, what they want to say, and then they take it and they shop it around. Well, that might work, but that's like a restaurant preparing a dish and then walking around saying, okay, would you like this? Would you like this? Would you like this? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the customer and you say, what would you like to eat today? And they say, well, I would like chicken Alfredo. Then, you know, go in the kitchen and cook chicken Alfredo. And this is what they will buy because this is what they want.
Mm-hmm. So understanding your audience is key, even with speaking, even with writing a book, even with doing an audio book. You need to know your audience because those are the people that you're going to focus on. So if you know your audience, you don't have to worry about, well, if this might not work, this might not work, because your audience is already there. That's why you're developing what you're doing. So your audience is going to want it. How do you protect your surroundings? How do you protect who you are? A lot of entrepreneurs are very selective about who they have around them. How do you protect who's around you?
Very prayerfully, mm-hmm. and with a lot of discernment. If you're going to have a team, you're going to have to really get to the bottom of who these people are, what their motives are, what their ambitions are, what purpose they believe they're called to serve in your life, how them serving you ends up serving them. You have to ask questions. You know, again, I'm in corporate America, mm-hmm. and I can tell you that in corporate America, you don't walk in on Monday and apply for a job and have it by that afternoon. There is a process. Oftentimes, it is a month process. It can be multiple month process. This particular company, they're vetting you. They're interviewing you. They want to know as much about you as possible because they want to know, are you worth this investment? Okay, if a corporation will do that for their company, you have to be willing to do that for your brand in your life. Yes, you might like somebody's style. Yes, you might think they're beautiful. Yes, you might like the way that they dress. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter in business. When you are running a business, what matters is, can you trust that person? And that is something that is only revealed over time.
Just gonna keep it cooking for y'all today. Here is Tragic Hero with his new track, Winter.
Like the winter, you left me cold as the winter. chasing for stars in my name. My jealous heart has been starving, but I'm left to blame.
I'm not Joseph with a bright coat, C.S. Lewis with the bright quotes, a Titanic light bulb, but God saved me from breathing in a white smoke. I've been left behind many times, but I survived in the end through fake friends, jealous types that don't make sense. But it's life, it's narcissism, isn't it? The mind is like a prison, isn't it? And my detention is indefinite. How we fall in love with this conditioning? Cause everybody wanna rule the world, put it on a runway. When you look for validation from somebody else, then you become a slave. Oh, they love me when I'm doing well. God forbid it ever dries up. And they decide that you're a fail. Crucify you and provide the nails inside your duck. Narrowed and wide enough. This light burden isn't bright enough.
So do you have any other advice that you would like to give to those who are inspiring to start and finish their dreams?
Absolutely. While you are working towards your dream, find a stream of income that you can make that you don't mind making. In other words, I speak to so many people that say, I want to be a full-time speaker. That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that dream. But if you're not getting in speaking engagements now, find something else that you enjoy doing that can help you survive until that dream becomes alive. Then once you get to that place that you've been striving to get to, don't just allow that one place to become your only stream of income. Be like the servants in Matthew 25, even though that's the parable of talents. And we know that talents in the Bible in that particular parable was referencing money. It's still a great analogy to pull from. You want to be the servant who has 10 talents. You have 10 different things that you're doing, 10 different ways that income is coming in. Because when you're not worried about where your next meal is coming from, you can be more authentic to your message. Whenever I'm called to preach, I go before God and I give the message I truly believe that God has given me for that audience. And I'm not stressed out about, I wonder, are the people going to like what I have to say? If I know it's what they need to hear, then I feel comfortable saying it, because whether you financially support the message or not, there are other things surrounding my life that pour into me financially. Now I want to put a pin right there, because there is a difference when you are preaching versus when you are speaking. Mm-hmm. When I am speaking, I research my audience. But when I am preaching, I go before God. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I want to make emphatically clear to everyone listening in. There is a difference between preaching and speaking.
Wow. That's good. So since you opened that door up, how do you research your audience for speaking?
I look at the company or the organization who has reached out to me to speak. Mm-hmm. For example, I have a gala that's coming up in a couple of months that I have been asked to come to this particular event. Okay. How did this gala get started? What is the purpose of this gala? Who are they serving? What is the demographic of the type of women that will be there? So it's, you know, being a journalist, that's who I am at my core. I'm a writer. I'm a journalist. Mm-hmm. And so doing the homework to figure out, who am I speaking to?
Nice, nice. And when you preach, you better talk to the Lord.
You got to get your word from the Lord.
Yes, yes, indeed.
You have to say, God, what is the message for the people? Because sometimes I will go to a conference and we will have a hallelujah good time. People are dancing, running, falling out and shouting. But then there are times that God would say, no, I need you to call them to repentance. Mm-hmm. And so when you are secure in other areas of your life financially, you don't care that maybe you're not going to preach in an exciting sermon that's going to make people lose their wig and throw $1,000 at the altar. You don't care about that. Mm-hmm. But when you are secure in other areas, you can stand up and say, well, thus saith the Lord, without any fear of how people might try and come against you, because you're not worried about your basic needs being met.
Wow. This has been it's been so good. It's been such a pleasure to hang out with you today, Prophetess. You have really helped our audience understand the different dynamics between entrepreneurship and preaching, as well as understanding who you are authentically and knowing when to take a rest back. I think one of the greatest things you said today was, if you're always following someone, you can never get ahead of them. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to hang out with you.
the glory.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You very much for having me. And, you know, for anybody that wants more information, they can definitely head to my website, Tara, T-E-R-A, Carissa, C-A-R-I-S-S-A.com, and connect with me on all of my social media networks there.
Definitely. I am buying the book right now. $5. Come on, guys. Go ahead and give her $5.
Thank you.
So,
and also for one-on-one coaching. If
yes.
anyone out there wants one-on-one coaching for being an entrepreneur, for being a speaker, for being a coach, for how to, you know, stay alive in ministry when you really just want to give up, you can also email in. I do one-on-one coaching via phone for $25. For the people who are listening in and you actually email in and you reference this particular interview, I'll knock that down to 15 just as a thank you for saying thank you for listening in.
I'm emailing you right now because, you know what? Listen, if you're listening to this podcast right now and you've gotten anything from her today, there are people who are charging $349 an hour for consultation, and they're going to give you they got a PDF that they're going to run you through the questions. They're not going to pray. They're not going to ask the Lord. They're just going to run you through the questions and help you to go where you're going. You need to hop on this coaching right now. Please go to her website, TaraCarissa.com, and get that coaching. $25, $15, we spend more than that on a meal. And this is something that's going to propel you into your future. So if you're listening today, I think that might be one of the best offerings that we have ever given anybody. We like to also thank our sponsor, Zevia. Zevia is the good soda. If you guys have not tried the Zevia, Zevia is amazing. It's a soda that I support. It's a soda that I'm able to give out. So if you retweet this, we're going to enter you to win some Zevia soda, zero calorie soda, as well as no artificial sweeteners. So we had to pay the bills on that one. But no, you really need to get that coaching, guys. Please get that coaching. I am going to sign up myself because, you know, we're in this world and we're asking, we need a mentor. We need somebody to help us. We need somebody that's already doing it. Someone that has gone before where we want to go. And this is simple. $25 is anything worth it than that. I'm going to buy this book and I'm going to sign up for the consultation as well. Thank you for joining us. So if you haven't realized that we don't keep ourselves in a box here with music on From Start to Finish, here is Heath McNeice with Till We Have Faces.
I heard the voice of God, so I followed it. Left behind the ones I loved the most, no apologies. And some were jealous like I forsook them for this monument. And some were salty, I parted grips, dissolved the partnership. See, sometimes the mortal speaks, and we desire to see the face of God on earth so much we hope that he has more to teach. But no one hears the voice of God and thinks it's something else. So when I run to light, I think I'm running from myself when it's long and it brought me here. To leave, it really means returning to a home that I never had, but I always wanted near. And for that, I'll make an angel break my bones to dust, attack until my name is new, until the casket closes shut, till every love resents me, and barely a one respects me, dead and buried, no respects, and no one cares, none there except me. I haven't done enough for love, and how could love accept me? A broken bone, and embedded stone, a newer name is empty. A folded frame of broken bones across this frozen lake. Regret just blows across the emptiness of open plains. And guilt resides in spiteful corners of a soulless place. So die before you die, beloved. That's the only way. Home awaits those souls to break the bonds of slow decay. It's cold and snowy nights that slowly fade from lonely days. But it's worth these frozen veins to see a perfect face. So dig the words right out of us. To this cage of fragile ribs protecting us is shattered, gladly grounded back to dust. And return to earth as fleeting vapor, ash and rust. Why should he listen to us babble in a thousand tongues? See, when dread and beauty clash, it forces souls to speak. And ease the bowing tongues to plead the blood that no one bleeds. The kind that opens gates to welcome home the lowest thieves. The kind that gives us faces so we see what holy means.